Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood.
Yeah.
I was expecting a rooster. Why was
I know. I wanted to blow shit up right at the top of the show. God. You know what? I saw your little tweet about the
What? I didn't. That's by the guy who handles our Twitter account. That wasn't me. That was whoever handles our Twitter account.
But you know what?
Follow us at Hollywood Wake Up on Twitter. That's at Hollywood Wake Up.
And Eddie's the one that mans the controls for
and
that.
And there's a person who mans the controls, who may or may not be me.
But did you see some guy was like, yeah, dude, more soundboard.
Yeah, it was Dustin Jacobs. He's been on the show before. He lives to be a contrarian. That's his whole purpose in life, is to
I
be
like
a contrarian.
Dustin. I thank you for the support.
Whatever I say, he takes the opposite stance on.
Well, that's good. He's like You're Darth Vader.
Yeah, I'll come out against Ebola, and he'd be like, oh, Ebola's not too bad. That's Dustin Jacobs.
How was your weekend? I see that you're sporting your Redskins jersey.
Yes.
You're a very proud
Hail
man
to
today.
The Redskins.
So when they lose, you don't wear that the next day, do you?
No, I wear all... I'm prideful. I'm not a fair-weather fan.
Okay, I like
I'm not
that.
A fair-weather
I like
fan.
That. I like that. That's like...
And when 80% of your wardrobe is Redskins stuff, you don't have much of a choice. So...
80%.
It's close.
So when you go to weddings, do you have like a Redskin suit?
I have a Redskin tie.
That's awesome.
A Redskin tie.
And you wear it?
Yeah.
Dude, that's pretty
badass. I
have
two ties. I have a black tie and a Redskin tie.
And so for black tie events, you wear your black tie Redskin tie.
I need a black Redskin tie.
And your wife doesn't slap you around just for that?
No, she supports my habit.
She likes it? She doesn't mind?
She's aware of my habit.
Well, I walked into your house and I've seen like the WWF, or I guess WWE.
WWE.
Like championship belts.
Well, that we wore those at our wedding.
You did not.
At our reception. We
Really?
Yeah. At the reception, we came out introduced as the new
that
tag team champions.
That is awesome.
We wore
really?
Tag team title belts. Yeah.
Dude, you have to post that on YouTube. I got to see it.
It's all right.
You're like, it's all right. How was your week? How was your kid's week in kindergarten? Did he kiss any more girls?
Today. He got in trouble again today.
Again today? Same girl?
I don't know if it's the same girl, but the teacher pulled me aside after I went and picked him. He's like, yeah, he tried to kiss another girl.
I'm
like,
what?
Dude.
And you were like, another girl. Nice.
I'm like, stop. You're going to get kicked out. You're going to
get kicked out of kindergarten.
This is something you
can
get arrested
girls.
For in like 10
That's
years.
That's true. He better learn, right?
He thinks it's a game. It's...
Well, what's the game? It's like, hey, I want to put, like...
He doesn't know it's
You have a little
bad.
Hornball of a kid, dude.
He just doesn't know. He doesn't know it's a bad thing.
Well...
Try to kiss someone they don't want to be kissed.
Do you think the girl's, like, egging it on a little bit? Or that's all... Now that there's two variables, it's all him.
Girls at 5-year-old are way more mature now than they used to be. Like, they know what they're doing, I think.
So you think it's all him?
What do you mean?
You think he's the problem.
I don't think he knows what he's doing.
He's the problem child.
Poor guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Did you have a talk with him?
Yeah.
What did you say? What did you say today?
I said, buddy, the teacher told me that you tried to kiss a girl again. He's like, well, I accidentally forgot. Because he knows he wasn't supposed to.
That was awesome.
And he says he accidentally forgot. I'm
Dude,
like, buddy.
That is a great excuse.
Buddy.
I need to use that.
Yeah,
accidentally forgot.
Yeah. That's what Jameis Winston said.
And what was your response when he said that?
No, my response was like, buddy, you can't do that. There's no kissing allowed in school. You can get kicked out of school. You won't be able to go back to school. And he's like, okay. I'm like, I'm going to have to remind you every morning now not to kiss girls at school. He's like, okay.
Well, at least he's not bullying anybody around.
No, it's... I mean, that.
I like that.
It's way better than...
He's more of a Casanova.
Yeah.
He's a kindergarten,
not a fighter.
Kindergarten Nova.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
That's gonna make you a little bit proud on some level. You're like,
it's way better than being a dickhead bully.
Yeah. No, it's true.
You know,
it's true.
Yeah, unless it's totally terrorizing agree. This girl. I mean, that's sad.
And like,
but
what?
It's
what
an,
did the
it's
teacher
an
say?
Thing.
Was the teacher like, dude? Seriously? Like, what are you? Are you watching porno with your kid?
That's what I do. Me and the fam. We have family porno night every Friday night.
That is pretty awesome. I was expecting you to be like, no. He's all good. Like, things have simmered down, but he hasn't learned his lesson.
You know, you have a five-year-old. Things are never.
So let me ask you an honest question. Do you spank your kid?
No.
Ever?
I spanked him one time.
Have you ever been spanked?
Yeah, I grew up with spankings.
Dude, I grew up with spankings.
I had to get the switch off the tree.
Oh, man. Stuff like I never that. Had the switch. I got the switch. Leather belt.
I got the switch on the back of the knees.
Oh, damn.
I got the belt. Terrible. I got the belt. I got the switch. I got the hand.
I got the
always on the butt, though. I never got, like, the face. I mean,
I never got in the face either. One time, I actually I got punished for something. I don't remember what I did. I think I broke something.
I know. You know what you did.
No, I can't remember. Sure no, did. No. I broke something valuable.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think I threw a shoe through a glass window or something. Right.
It's getting more vivid the more you talk about it.
Suddenly, it's all coming back. It went from,
I don't know, to I threw a shoe through a glass window.
So my dad was like, you need to go to your room and you're just going to just wait for a spanking. So I went to the kitchen and I took a little, like, you know, one of those little tea plates.
Little snack. Yeah, a little snack for the
and
weight.
I put it in my little tidy whities, like, ooh, in my ass, like you know.
Did just he hurt his hand? Shield.
And, dude, he came in ready to spank me and he just hit me so hard and you just hear this, boom, but it didn't. I didn't feel anything. And I was like, ow! Like, pretending, you know, I'm not a
he felt the plate,
actor.
Right?
Of course he felt the plate. So he, like, looks. He was like, grabs the plate, walks out of the room. And he never came back. But I thought I was going to get the beating of my life after that. Like, that was my childhood.
You know, he was probably like, fucking clever kid.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty awesome. But I will tell you, like, every now and then, if I'm at my parents' house, just like having dinner or whatever,
you put a tea plate in your ass.
No, I don't put a tea plate in my ass. But just, like, my nostalgia. Dad will come home, and like as soon as he like opens the front door, there's a split second where that 5-year-old kid, like, oh my god, did I do all my homework?
Am I still gonna get this beating? Has he been waiting for 30 years to
and
give me this beating?
You didn't have to like play instruments when you were a kid, but that was a thing. Like if you were learning an instrument in my house, if my dad was like coming home, you had to make it look like you were playing an instrument or doing some work. So as soon as you walked in, you weren't like just watching TV. If you came home, if he came home and you were watching TV, you were like, you were just like a nothing in life. You know, you were just losing
really?
All aspiration. Oh yeah, he was like very much like, dude, do something with your life. Yeah. Which is good.
I'm
which
seven.
Is good. But there's every now and then for the holidays, if I go home for Thanksgiving, there's a little bit of guilt if I'm just like watching TV and I look over at him and he's doing some work of some kind. It's like, God, I'm a failure.
Like, Dad, fucking take a break. Chill out for a second.
So, dude, I didn't tell you. I forgot to tell you. I was like asleep last week. When I left New York, I forgot to tell you an awesome story. So I'm leaving New York last week, and I had no sleep for those 4 days. So I'm in the airport. I forgot to tell you who I met. I met Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, really?
Dude, and it was so surreal because I was walking to my gate, and this little, it looked like a little man-child. I mean, he literally was dressed in a onesie, like a pajama onesie. Yeah. And he had purple hair, but he looked like an old man. He looked like a...
How old? They got to be...
He's like 47, something.
They
got to
be older
more,
than that, right?
Than that,
they
got to
be in their 50s, don't they?
Yeah, probably. So he looks like he looks like he's in good shape and shit, but I mean...
I mean, they've been around since the early 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, late 80s, late
yeah,
80s.
Yeah, so at least 30 years ago, right? That was, what, 30 years ago?
Well, Under the Bridge was 91, 92.
Yeah,
they had albums before that. They
so,
had to be in their 50s.
So he was wearing a cheetah print onesie. And he had purple hair. Just walking through the airport.
Good
and I was
him.
Like, hey, man,
good
dude. I was like, man, dude, I love your music. You're one of my favorite bass players. I'm like, you're such a great cat. I'm like, we have to play sometime. And he was like, dude, I'm looking for headphones. And I'm like, yeah, there's probably like a duty-free store or something like that. And I was like, man, we got to play together, man. I've opened for Dave Matthews and played Bonnaroo. And he's like, what's your name? I'm like, Nicky Carulla. And the funny thing is, I have a cell phone from another friend of mine that gave me a cell phone. So I was like, dude, I'll send you a text message, like, from the plane. And he was like, cool, man. He's like, I got to find some headphones, man. Like, he was, like, running around to get on this plane. I thought he was going to come back to L.A., but he did not come back to L.A.
Have you texted him?
I texted him when I was on the plane, but, you know, it's kind of sketch if you have reception then. So I haven't texted him again, so I'm going to text him.
You should text him every 20 minutes until you get a response.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was weird because
every 20 minutes.
I got his cell phone number, and I was like, how the hell am I ever going to approach this? Like,
I think I have Eddie Vedder's cell number.
Dude, are you serious?
I think I've never tested it.
Why not?
I was walking through a hallway in some at a studio. I had an audition or something like a couple years ago. I was walking through, and I was just looking in one of the rooms. I was just being nosy. I looked, and there was a whiteboard with a bunch of, like, numbers and names and a bunch of shit written on the board. And then I saw E period Vetter and then a phone number under it.
Oh, my God.
And I just, for some reason, I typed in my phone. I'm saving it.
And so it's, for in my, some reason. It's in my phone. Well, not like for some reason. Super fan because
I'm super gay for Eddie Vetter. And I was like, I always went. And then I went home. I investigated like the, because I know he lives in like Washington State, like Seattle area. He has a home up there.
Yeah.
And it's the area code for that.
Dude,
for Seattle.
How have you not called it?
Well, I'm not going to.
Just call it.
I like, have it. No, I just have it. I want to keep it in my phone.
But you have to use it for something. Like when they have a show in LA, like, hey, man, I want to bring my kid. And is there any chance?
No, because then he'll be a huge dick about it.
Then just say, oh,
then I'll be
working
crushed.
In a studio.
Then I'll be crushed.
That's true. Yeah, that would crush me.
I'd rather leave.
But he's going to be cool.
You think?
He's going to be a little. He probably won't answer the phone.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't. He's like, what number is this?
Why has it been called for the past 10 years, every 20 minutes?
I possibly have Eddie Vedder's number in my phone.
Well, you got to check that, dude. You got to definitely check that. That'd be amazing, you know? Yeah. Anyways, I think our special guest for the evening is here. How are you, Mr. Ryan Cross?
Just fine.
Good. Yeah, we may want to turn his mic on.
I want to turn the microphone on.
Well, that helps.
My bad.
Our special guest tonight is one of my favorite people on the planet. Eddie, I got to tell you, when I was a freshman at USC, this guy was playing the best recitals with the best musicians at the school. He was, I think you were 1 or 2 years older than me, something like that. And nothing that matters. He still looks younger than me, of course. But, man, I was just like in awe of this cat. I was like, this guy's like one of the best musicians I've ever heard. And now he's like doing all this badass shit. He's been doing orchestrations for Alicia Keys.
Wow.
He's been playing on the American Idol, in the American Idol band, the Voice band, Rising Star. He just did a session for Neil Young. We have so much to talk about. I've been so excited. I booked him maybe 2 months in advance or something like that.
Yeah, I'm glad.
So, Ryan, say hello.
Yes, I am here, and it's Lakers, you know, first game of the season.
It's opening night.
Opening night, and I'm here.
And you're here.
Hey, and I'm here.
That's
that
dedication.
Well,
that's
dedication.
There's, 81 more basketball games to catch. Yeah, so, he'll be okay.
Well, you know, you want to see the first one to go, do I need to, you know,
yes. Am I going to be invested in the season?
Right, right.
I'm a little worried, but, you know, everybody, I've been seeing a lot of Facebook posts about how healthy he is and how driven he is. We've made some questionable trades, and Steve Nash is
gone.
It's gone. Yeah, let's just say he's done.
He's gone. Yeah.
But anyways, enough about basketball. Let's talk about music.
Yes.
This is why you're here. Okay. I want you to talk about, like, you know, we've been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
And we have actually played with a lot of the same musicians. We played with each other in gigs and whatnot. But I, you know, part of the fascination with having people I know on this show is there's going to be a part of your story that I don't know that we haven't talked about.
Right.
So I want you to talk about, like, tell us your story. Like, tell us what got you into music, where you grew up, how you started playing the bass, and you play the cello as well.
Yeah.
Tell us all the good stuff.
All right. Well, it all started back in Seattle, Washington.
Oh.
Yes.
I have Eddie Vedder's phone number.
Exactly.
Just letting you know.
The 206. Ah. Yes, that's lovely. The 206 area code, you know. Went to school there, and in Seattle, there's a very rich artistic training in the public schools still today. And my brothers all went through that. So I have two older brothers that were about 10 years older than me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so when I got into school, even elementary school, they're like, we know your brothers. Phil and Ken's brothers.
So you have no choice. You're going to be a musician.
Exactly. I mean, like.
What do they play?
My oldest brother, Philip, he plays bass, and my second oldest brother plays violin.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's like opposite ends of the giant size. Yeah. And
exactly.
Small size.
And their personalities are just like that, too.
That's
opposite
awesome.
Ends. You know, Bert and Ernie. I think that was.
Is one guy really big and the other guy's tiny? Physically,
how
are they
you know?
Same?
Do you know that?
I'm just guessing by the instruments they chose.
Eddie's been stalking Eddie Vedder, so he's probably seen your brothers around.
I know everybody up there.
Really weird that you know all this stuff already. So they're classical musicians and really accomplished classical musicians. So watching them do their thing, travel around the world. My oldest brother, Philip, he was in the New World Symphony. And before that, he was in the U.S. Russian Symphony. And he had traveled around, before I even started. So that was already set up. So people, what are you going to do when you grow up? Well, I'm definitely going to play music. I mean, that was a Of course.
It was kind of decided for you. I had no choice. Right?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many cool things, and they would talk, they would have so many inside stories about summer camp, you know, playing in band camp, you know, what right. happens at band camp. And, you know, band camp is one thing, but classical, you know.
That's a whole different world.
Look, that's a whole nother world.
And you were like, I want that. Yes. I want that. Little Ryan Cross is just like, I need that.
What are these stories? Who are these people? And they're just going on laughing. Man, remember when I did this? And so by the time I was 9 years old, I had been listening to classical music, you know, the whole time, as if your older brother would be playing rock music or whatever. No, we were rocking classical music in our
house. That's crazy.
And neither of my parents are classical musicians. It just came from the school district.
Wow.
Creating and taking it. They did ear training tests before.
Really? In the public school system up there? Yes. That's crazy.
And so they would give the ear training tests, and if you did well, you know, then okay, you have a, you know, proclivity to music, so we're going to go.
Is it still that way up there?
No.
No.
That was the first thing that
dried up.
Gone. You know, funding. Gone.
That's
sad. You know what I mean? Bing. No.
That's amazing you were able to grow up in that.
It really was amazing. And so I didn't have to take the ear training test because they were like, oh, you're Ken and Phil's brother. So that's it. You're playing.
You're going.
And but by the time I was 9, my first song, I remember the first concert.
So you could have been a great hockey player. We'll never know.
And we'll never know.
You could have been like the best goalie of all time.
Yeah.
And we'll have no idea.
Yeah, we don't know because he never had the ear test.
Yes.
He could have a terrible year.
Yeah. I could.
I know he doesn't.
You've just been faking it this whole time.
I have been faking it.
You should have been playing hockey.
I should have. See? Damn. He's found out.
I saw the look of regret on his face. I know. Way to go.
I know.
The pain and suffering.
It's sad. It's
yeah,
so, sad.
So the first concert that I did was, let's see, I think, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. I think that was on the song.
It's a classic.
And then that was with another violinist, you know, so.
And what were you playing?
I was playing cello.
Cello. Is that what's laying on the floor right here?
No.
What is that?
That's an upright bass.
Okay. Cello, I don't know. It's a bass.
Dude, have you ever seen a cello that big and somebody sitting down and playing
I don't know what a cello looks like. That's why I asked what that was.
Okay. So cello is the instrument that usually somebody is seated.
Oh, so you have to sit to play a cello.
Yeah.
You got to stand to play the upright bass.
Yep, exactly.
Got it. And violin, you can do whatever. You can stand.
It's going to really mess you up because classical musicians a lot of times will sit down. It'll mess you up.
It's because the songs are so long, right?
It's just bigger.
It's because the songs are so long.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
You've got to be comfortable.
You got to get comfortable.
Yeah, they're like 15-minute songs.
Man, a good bass classical stool costs about $400.
Are you talking about poop or furniture?
You said stool. I'm actually talking about a stool.
Okay, classical stool.
Classical stool, right.
Costs.
Yes.
That's gross.
There you go. Well.
Poop joke.
There you go.
Seriously.
There's always room for
I
that.
Really sidetracked the whole show.
No, you didn't.
I apologize.
It's fine. I love it.
Enough with the poop jokes. Let's flush those down the toilet. It's long.
The second song
okay,
was
so,
along with
second
Twinkle
song.
Twinkle Little Star.
You're playing cello.
Was Mahler's First.
Whoa.
So I was
Seriously?
Playing the theme from Mahler's First was my solo, you know, and the people were like, okay, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Yeah, got that one.
Theme from Mahler's First. Who the hell is this kid?
That's a huge jump.
Yeah.
That's an ambitious teacher. It's like, all right, we're going to do, we'll do the Twinkle Twinkle, but let's go.
Well,
to
that was
Mahler.
The lull the audience in.
Yeah.
And then bam, like blow their socks off.
That was it. And Mahler's First is really slow and thing. It's just like, oh, wow. You're going to play a reel, you know, piece.
Right.
And so, yeah, my brothers always would filter that in. And during Christmas time, we would actually play Christmas songs to the lights, the rhythm of the lights of the Christmas tree. So, you turn it up. You know how you can change the chasing lights?
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, man, follow the tree, man. You're not following the tree.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. It
sounds like a stressful Christmas.
It was a stressful. Are you kidding me?
That sounds horrific.
Then we play Name That Tune. But classical songs.
What's wrong with your guys' families? There's like no rest in either one of your guys' families. It's like, enjoy yourselves.
No.
It's not all about the work all the time, guys.
There's no room.
Calm down.
There's no room. We got to keep going. We got to keep moving forward.
I know.
We're on the holidays.
No.
Follow the lights.
Yeah. You follow the light. I'm telling you. And they're bigger than me, so, you know.
You're like, I got to do it. I got to do it.
Got to do it. So that was
the start.
Early Seattle upbringing.
And how did you choose cello? You just wanted to do something different than your brothers?
I didn't want to play cello. I mean, I didn't want to play bass, and I didn't want to play violin.
So you went right in the middle.
I was like, I want to play cello.
I'm going with a middle-sized instrument.
That's it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And then the moment that changed my life, the high school jazz band director said, hey, man, Did you learn bass over the summer?
You were like, no.
I actually was like, man. Because one of the coolest cellists that was principal cello had played bass in a jazz band. And he was just like one of those cool guys that wore the leather jacket and, like, you know, knew everybody. And like, oh, man, I get to be just like him. So I was like, okay, not knowing what the hell I was going about to get myself into.
You were what, 16, 15?
Yeah, 15.
Wow.
And the bass is a beast of an instrument. It's the blue-collar instrument of all instruments.
That's true.
Now, you might think, oh, drums, you know, and all these things. But lugging around the drums is one thing. But you have the lugging around of the bass and the sheer power it takes to just pull the string if you're playing jazz. Yeah. It. And the bass that they had was a gut string.
Ooh.
What is that?
So that means the strings are even harder than what... What do you have on those?
Well, not a helix, a hybrid helicore. So okay. It's kind of like a gut inside kind of string. But in the old days, they had cat gut strings.
Actual cat guts?
Yeah.
Well.
So they killed cats to make these?
Yeah.
I like this instrument. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I like this instrument.
Yeah, forget about this. This is awesome. The ebony, you know. No, cat guts. Yeah, that's what they used to
good
do.
Stuff.
But, dude, as a 15-year-old kid, that's got to be tough on your fingers.
You should put the severed cat head on top. Just right on top of the neck.
That's Mingus.
Just to show people what's going on.
Mingus had the lion, I think, head. I think there that's what go. He was trying to say. You know, he's really saying, I got lion gut.
Lion gut strings. You know,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm sorry, Peter. Don't do that.
So they actually, how did they get cat guts to make the strings? They really just took dead cats?
Man, I mean,
I don't know that.
I think you I have to kill the cat to get the guts.
You guys are acting like you're trying to keep a secret here. Is this some sort of secret society we don't know about?
Unfortunately.
You guys look like I've stumbled onto something I'm not supposed to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, because God, I don't
like know. Some Illuminati shit
you're hitting
going
them
on
out here. Of the park tonight,
it's
dude.
It's like
seriously.
Some weird, what are you talking about? You're killing cats to make this instrument.
Hey, man, you killed elephants. And we're all just supposed to ivory frogs.
And you guys are acting like we're supposed to just gloss over that fact.
Yeah.
Well, they don't do it anymore. Now they've figured out a cheaper way to make a hybrid that's kind of like it. But back
you know,
in the
there's
day,
some sick people that are like, no, the way it's going to sound good is you got to have a dead cat.
Dude, that's probably how like the old school like cavemen did it. They were like, dude, let's build an instrument. Let's use this
well,
cat.
Well, then it was necessity.
Yeah.
Well, at least you use the whole, you know, if you're going to eat the cat, at least use all. Oh.
Yeah, and at wow. least, like, what about the fur?
You guys have, you guys have said too much.
I know.
You guys have said too much.
Already.
We've got to cross the line. Shit.
That's okay.
If I disappear after this show.
You know why.
You know why, because I know too much.
Yeah, we knew Redskins meant something else.
Anyway,
so you learn bass. You're 15 years old, 16 years old.
Yeah, bleeding fingers.
Do you guys have a huge family car? Like, how did you get all these instruments everywhere?
You know what the thing is? We would date girls that had big cars.
That's awesome.
That's not a euphemism, right? That's a literal fact.
No, not all about the bass. No, okay. No, it was really, it was so funny.
Big trunks, you dig girls with big trunks?
My youngest brother plays bass as well, and we would say to each other, oh man, that girl's hot. I think her car can fit my bass.
Not a euphemism, though. That's a straight, literal,
man.
Literally putting your huge musical instrument.
Cherokee? Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. And I dated a girl that had access because it wasn't her own car, but it's the car, you know, she was able to drive. She had a Suburban.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's nice. A 10. So that's
I could
a
fit
10.
The cello and the bass.
Oh, that's a 10.
Nice.
So it was,
that's a little double penetration right there. DP action. Good for you guys.
High school.
Smart. Smart motherfuckers.
Mm. I know. You're smart. I mean, when you're a bass player, you really have to have a really, you know, Prometheus brain.
Yeah.
You can't have that afterthought, you know. All of a sudden you're
well, you're carrying around something the size of you.
Yeah, bigger.
So
it's bigger
than
you have
you.
To.
When you're in high school, it's definitely bigger than
so,
you.
So yeah, you got to
I
got to
say, that's the
ahead.
One thing. When I was in New York, I saw so many cats walking around with the upright bass. I'm like, how do you do it?
Yeah, a wheel. But I didn't.
But that's not that much of a help when you're going through subways, you're dealing with people, you're walking in and out of tunnels, down
yes.
blocks. It helps a little bit, but
yes.
it's still brutal.
Well, I was on the school bass. So I didn't have the wheel or the nice strap or the nice anything. It was just carrying.
You guys need to invent disposable bases. Just you, one time you play it and you throw it away.
You know what they have now? A ukulele bass.
There you
oh,
go.
Yeah. Wow.
I want one of those things. They have like really cool strings. And
it's tiny.
And it's kind of, but big strings.
But know? It sounds like a bass, like an acoustic bass?
Hybrid.
Made out of
you know.
Kitten gut? Is that how you make those? kitten guts.
Yeah, or the ukulele bass.
Yeah, little baby pig kittens.
Guts. You know, pig guts. Yeah, pig guts. Arr. Made in Hawaii.
So you played what we were playing in the band.
Yeah.
And then you ended up auditioning for SC. How did you know that you wanted to do this for a living, that this was like a serious
thing? It really was the high school music program, because that first year, my second year in high school, sophomore year, the orchestra went to Japan, and then the jazz band went to Europe and did the Montreux Jazz Festival, and it's just insane. Just
so you played the Montreux Jazz Festival?
Yeah, my first year playing.
Dude, that's – okay, first of all, that's one of the biggest jazz festivals in the world. Stevie Ray Vaughan's played it. Quincy Jones hosted an event there recently. It's one of the biggest, hugest jazz festivals in the entire world. You did that when you were 16.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
It was amazing. So the jazz program, you know, it's now world-renowned, Roosevelt High School Jazz Band. They do quite well in the Ellington competition in New York every year now, so people know what Roosevelt's about. But they're, you know, since the 70s, the jazz band has come out and just been amazing, award-winning. So I'm kind of, like most high schools have, you know the schools that are great football programs. It's like that in arts.
That's amazing.
So the theater and the music programs are like top-notch.
And they're still like that now?
Yeah, I mean, they're turning out people that, you know, are getting Tonys in the theater side.
That's amazing.
And then on the other side, people that are, you know, rock, you know, on their way to rock legends, and people working in symphony, Chicago Symphony, and I mean, just all over the board. So
that's incredible.
So that's it. I mean, going to, you know, a jazz festival and getting to meet Wynton Marsalis after your
God,
first year.
That's amazing.
You know, and I got to work with Ray Brown, wow. Amazing bass player. So just these names, these huge names, like Wynton Marsalis, I knew even before I got into jazz as a classical trumpet player. And so it was just an amazing moment that you get to meet this guy. And when you're doing, you know, you're playing baseball, football, any other sports, and you get to meet your idol right away, it's a little more difficult. But right. In jazz, you have this direct connection and access. So it really excited me to have that access in jazz, because in classical music, I loved Yo-Yo Ma, but there was no meeting him unless you pay that big ticket mm-hmm. to be able to right. go backstage. But immediately in jazz, you could just kind of like wait for them out to the set as they walk down. And you go, hey, how you doing? You know, and they were very gracious, very gracious. Wynton Marsalis said, hey, man, practice.
You're like, that's it?
That's it, practice.
Dude, I actually sang a concert with Yo-Yo Ma when I was a kid.
You see?
And he played Happy Birthday for one of my friends.
That's insane.
How dope is that?
Yo,
seriously.
Yo-Yo Ma.
I've heard of Yo-Yo Ma.
Yeah, there you go.
Yo-Yo Mama.
Yo-Yo Mama.
Just kidding. Yeah.
He probably got that a lot as a kid.
Yeah, probably.
Well, let's play something. You got a CD real quick. We're going to come back and talk to you more. But let's play something. You are playing something from the Cross Heart record?
Yeah.
What's the name of the record?
It's a Cross Heart Jazz Experience with your original drummer.
I was just about to mention that. Like, the great thing that you're playing something. My very first drummer that was in the NK band is a very good friend of Ryan's and mine as well. And they did a jazz duo, right? It was a duo.
Well, it was a
quartet, but it was just you two as the names.
The leaders, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this is like super exciting for me because I love these two musicians and they're playing together. So what's the name of the first song you're going to play?
Tell Me What. It's an original I wrote.
Okay. Here we go. Tell Me What.
to each other.
Yeah, very nice. Killing combo. Who are all the players real quick?
On piano, that was Danny Grissett. Who's a well-renowned pianist in New York City now. And
I think you're going to say chef or something. No. Like, weird, like that's not what he's renowned for.
No, he's renowned for the piano.
And then you had Lorca Hart on drums.
Lorca Hart, the great Lorca Hart, who's now in San Francisco. And
I thought your friend was on drums.
Yeah, that's what I said. Lorca. Oh. Yeah, he's got a name. No, he's not named your friend.
He wasn't named.
My friend.
No, he didn't name him before. And then
Ryan, let's get into all the stuff. So you graduated SCI. I know you've just been doing – you've been hustling and doing all kinds of amazing gigs. You've been playing in American Idol. You've been playing on The Voice. You've been playing Rising Star. Tell us a little bit about that experience and how you got into it and what are some of the best moments you've had while you were there.
Yeah, there was a – going through USC, my teacher, John Clayton, didn't want to hear anything about the cello. I kind of had to keep the cello silent because the bass, I had the scholarship on the bass. And the cello was like, he didn't want to know anything. And when he saw, you know, I had a lot of vibe, fake it till you make it, right? So he was like, man, he looks like he knows what he's doing. He gets into it. But you start stripping away, like, what he can do, like, I knew nothing when it came to the understanding of the instrument.
I just
could kind of get around because I played cello. So he had to rebuild me up. So he didn't hear anything about cello, but I secretly practiced the cello and took lessons and kept going. So then when I got out of school, I had focused on improvisation and soloing, and that also filtered into my cello playing.
How different is it to play the cello than the bass? Like, how big of a difference?
It's like playing backwards. So the way it's strung is, which is, you know, which strings, they go. One is strung in fourths and one is strung in fifths. And to a lot of people that know music, they would understand that. But
I have no idea.
The intervals of the strings are a little bit different. So that changes the way, like the patterns are going to be completely different in how you attack or approach the instrument.
It's almost like throwing with your left hand. So some people, it's not a problem.
It's that different.
Yeah. Because there are similarities where your arm does move that way, and it can do that. But, you know, the similarities sit there just so you can feel like you think you're comfortable, but then the very next string is completely another string.
You're also bowing more with cello. You still can bow with upright bass.
Yeah, but more.
But most of it, you're playing with your fingers.
Okay.
Yeah, so that, I mean, it was a big transition. It really, in the beginning, it was very difficult.
Nice.
Headaches and whatnot.
So you got through SC and then you were like, I want to get some big time gigs.
Well, it just happened. You know how you just continue things on, and, you know, Twitter was a side project, you know, things like that, where it's like cello was my first love, but it was kind of my mistress at the time, which is kind of odd, and people knew me as a bass player. But people started during that time were looking for cellists that could improvise. And so there was this cool, oh, man, he can improvise. He doesn't need to have music. Or he can put that feel on it that we need. And so it came up like that, where it was like, oh, hey, he plays cello. This is great. We have a guy that can understand, you know, pop music and can create his own notes and not be so stuck into the, oh, I don't have any music. I can't do it.
Right.
Now, who were you imitating there? Who was that?
I don't know.
Okay. I just want to know.
In my brain, I have no idea. What all right.
Their voices in his head.
Sounded like a typical white guy.
Yeah. I speak many different dialects.
Okay. That just sounded like a typical white guy impression.
Thanks so much. Well, you know, there's rich black guys, too. And we have to
talk about this. They all sound the same. They sound the same as white guys.
Rich people just sound the same.
Okay. So it's more of a rich impression.
It's rich impression. Okay. Yes, exactly. So the cello, the way I got into American Idol was through Ray Chu. Ray Chu was from Ray Chu and the Crew for Showtime at the Apollo.
It's I was going to say bless you.
Ray Chu and the Crew. Was that the name of his band? Like,
yeah, Ray Chu and the Crew. That's they would great. Say it was awesome.
Good for him.
And they would kill all those. Some people would just come in, they'd have hardly any rehearsal and just create these amazing arrangements, and bam, and this person would sing, and sometimes they would be great and sometimes they wouldn't. It's awesome. So I got a chance to work with him on the BET Awards through friends that had recommended me. Said, oh, man, this guy would be great. He's black and he plays the cello. Oh, my God. And at that,
black was most important. Black,
it's and a BET. The cello.
It's oh, BET,
sorry.
Dude.
I'm sorry.
Just
sorry.
Say it.
I'm sorry for you. Black Entertainment.
Network. Television.
There you go.
That's bent.
Yeah.
It's enough.
Yeah, it's all good.
What?
Yes. It's all good. It's all right.
Shoot you in the leg.
Guys are fun. Shaney's here. Anyway, so we're here. So I got in through Ray Chu, and working with Ray Chu, I ended up getting in that way, you know, through, oh, you're black and you play cello. And he's like, oh, wow, you can actually play. It's great. And you can read.
All we cared about was your color.
Yeah. Now, and reality is the contractor, that's kind of what he needed, because Ray Chu really had asked to have to be represented.
Right.
But there was the string players, a lot of the contractors, the big-time contractors, this same contractor did a lot of the other award shows, and he knew mostly white players and maybe one or two black players. He didn't look for, you know, for most of his other gigs for other kinds of people, looks. And so he had to really draw on some of the other people to get anybody. So we would have an all-black rhythm section, and then the string section would be mostly white. There would be a concert master, the first violinist would be white. And then there would be a couple of us that were in the orchestra that were black. And the more Ray Chu worked in, because this is one thing he did for a lot of us, was he would say, well, you know, bring me some more. I want it to fit the, you know, the fabric. It can be mixed, but I just need more. Go ahead and look for more. And a lot of the contractors would say to Ray throughout the time, would say that there's no black players that can read music.
Okay, I'm glad you said music there, because, wow.
Yeah, I saw your
what
face.
What the shit? Like,
it's going to be a much different radio show.
Yes. But that's a lot of people think that in music, still have that thought. And so it was a lot of fun to have that challenge where you come up and you have to perform and do, you know, this is it. Because if you mess up, that's it. And on those shows, you're recording, pre-recording sometimes, but then you're live other times.
Right.
And so Ray Chu got the... Thank you. Thank you very much. Ray Chu got the gig at American Idol and brought me along. And I got into it. And my first day on Idol, I sat and they were like, okay, you're going to sit here. I was like, okay, cool. You're not given the music. We didn't do pre-records for these songs. We just went straight to rehearsal. And in the rehearsal, they said, oh, here's the music. And it said at the top, you know, cello, okay, cool. And then solo. So I thought maybe one little section, a couple notes or solo. But then they put my chair over to the side and the rest of the string section's over there. I was like, oh, but I'm with the strings. They're like, yeah, I know. This is where we want you. And they put my stand up, put my music up. I get ready. American Idol, I know about American Idol. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I get ready. And okay, we're playing through the song. Okay, got it. All right. And I'm like, everybody's dropping out.
Solo.
It's all me. I was like, man, y'all want to play? You know, it was all me.
Wow.
And then the guys join in, you know, as fillers to what I'm playing and the soloist. And obviously I'm like, oh, my God, you know, so scared. But this is your chance to kind of show, because if you're playing in a section, nobody really can hear you. But when you're apart, they're like, oh, okay, he can definitely read. So once they find I know how to read, great, I show everybody. But the next take, the producer comes up and says, yeah, you're in our shot. This stand is in our shot. So, yeah, you don't need that, right? Stand gone.
Oh, man.
No stand.
So you can't.
Wow.
How you... What?
Yeah, no
so
stand.
You're just listening.
Take two, no stand. So I put the music on the floor. I'm like,
how am I going to do this?
How am I going to do this? Because it's live. I mean, your mic is live.
Yeah.
And the producer's sitting up there, and if it doesn't sound good, they're going to cut it. The arrangement doesn't work. Right. They don't know that you're not the stand's out of the way. No, you just have to make it. You know, and so I'm sitting there looking down, and of course, next take, what do they say? Oh, could you look up? Yeah.
You're like, damn it! Hey, let's get to one of your live performances, because I want to.
Oh, yeah, let's get it.
You brought this huge, gigantic
violin.
Cello.
You're the big violin. It's enormous.
What are you gonna play for us?
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna play a song that I'm writing right now.
Do it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I like it. Let's
Why
hear
not?
It. This is Ryan Cross, an original you've never heard. Love
Picking
it.
Up his giant violin right now.
This awesome. Is dope. This is what makes this radio show worth it, is to have musicians like this to play live on the show. Here it is, Ryan Cross.
Mm-hmm. awesome.
Real quick, before I forget, where can we find you? What are all your websites? What's your Twitter handle? How can we find Ryan Cross if we're looking for you?
Ryan Cross Music, well, at Ryan Cross Music on Twitter and also Instagram. Yeah.
All right. One of the things I wanted to do, Ryan and I just played a gig together. We're going to jam a little bit.
Oh, jam. You got 5 minutes.
There we go. Minutes. Let's do this.
We're gonna 5 minutes to jam.
We're going
to
do Eric Clapton song. This
Cat Gut
called
Free. Cat Gut Free. Cat Gut Free music.
My strings, I don't think, are cat guts. Maybe the old school guitars.
Well, you know, one important thing that we might do is tune, you know, because, wow.
No, just go for it.
That's important. Cat guts can tune, too, so.
All right, so this is Eric Clapton's Old Love. When I'm lying in my bed, it's too much confusion going round in my head, and it's making me so angry to know that the flame will always burn. Flame will always burn. I ain't never gonna be over. And when will I ever learn? Ever learn? Face, yeah, but I know it ain't real, just an illusion, yeah, caused by how I used to feel, yeah, and it's making me so angry. Know that the flame will always burn. Flame will always burn. I ain't never gonna be hungover. And where will I ever learn? Just Oh Lord, oh Lord, just go on home, go on home. Mr. Ryan Cross, you are such a badass musician, man. Seriously, it's always a pleasure playing with you, man.
That's awesome.
Hey, man,
awesome.
It's good to learn that tune.
Dude, that's the most amazing thing about this guy's ear. He just kind of, he's never heard that tune. We've never played it, you know, like.
So you totally would have passed that test. You totally would have passed that test. You didn't even take it. Good for you.
Thanks. What a badass.
All right, so where can we find you again one more time? On Twitter and stuff?
At Ryan Cross Music on Twitter and Instagram.
Got it. All right,
awesome.
Guys.
Thank you, Ryan Cross, for being our wonderful, amazing, music extraordinary guest tonight. It was amazing. It really was.
We'll see you guys next week. I'm Eddie Pence.
Eddie, you moved. I see it.
I'm very moved. I'm going to go home and
you want to learn the bass just for
cry.
Those cat cuts.
I'm going to cry on the drive home.
Special thanks to Ryan Cross, Eddie Pence, as always.
And all the cats that gave all their lives for all the cat cuts.
We'll see you next week. This is Wake Up Hollywood. Bye, wait, everybody. Wait for it.
You got to be more prepared.
Oh! I had to get the rooster.